Hi, and welcome to the latest episode of Short Commercial Break. It has been a few weeks since we've done this, but joining me are Jeff Belinsky and Michael Kreshy. Guys, how's it going today?
What's up, Vin? I'm doing better now that I just received a Snapchat from you where you don't have a shirt on.
Oh, it's the best Snapchat I've ever gotten.
Yeah, you guys are hyping that up a little bit too much, but I appreciate what you're saying.
It's a fleeting moment, Vin. It's a Snapchat. It doesn't last forever. We got to remember it somehow.
If they lasted more than 5 seconds, we could share it on the site for the fans, but they're going to have to just buy the calendar that's eventually coming out.
The fans aren't ready.
The writers of the Waiver Wire 2014 calendar.
Ooh, that actually is a pretty good idea.
Greg Kaplan.
Yeah, let's get Greg Kaplan on that. That does remind me, though, to remind our listeners that this podcast is for waiverwireblog.com. And if you haven't already, you guys should subscribe to us on iTunes. It's the easiest way to listen to us. Today we will talk about the latest episode of Breaking Bad and the upcoming finale, and later on we'll touch on last night's Emmys, which there were some surprises there. So let's start with last night's episode of Breaking Bad. Either Jeff or Kreshy, whoever wants to lead off, just what are your initial thoughts on the episode?
Jeff, take it away.
My initial thoughts, it was kind of a downer. I was really expecting, you know, the penultimate episode of the series to kind of be full of all types of crazy stuff, but it really kind of took it slow, and it threw a curveball at me that I wasn't expecting, and I actually really did enjoy it, even though if you told me beforehand going in that's all that would happen, although there was some crazy stuff. I'm letting not undersell that, but it was less than I expected, and I'm very pleased with it.
Doesn't that say it all about Breaking Bad, that this episode probably had a handful of things that are crazier than anything on TV? And we were like, oh, they gave us a kind of a sad breather because we're off a week where we didn't talk about Ozymandias, but that episode was probably the craziest episode of television ever constructed. And a week after it, I think they might have, like you said, they slowed it down. I think they might have given us the saddest episode of TV I ever watched. Walt, there was a couple moments that were among the saddest I've like viscerally ever felt when Walt offered $10,000 for Amanda spent 2 hours for him. And when Andrea was shot, those were two moments that, like, I physically didn't feel well. Like, I just felt almost sick because it was so sad seeing these characters suffer or just be pathetic. Or this is a sad episode. And I also think it's fitting that a show that always wows us because it takes the time to make setup episodes and stuff like that, in its penultimate episode, chose to really just set one last stage and make sure that the finale, not the penultimate episode, which is a common thing in TV, but that the finale is going to be a finale. It's going to be a climax.
Right. I didn't go into it the same way Jeff did. I did expect it to be a little bit slower, mostly because I didn't see any way it could match pretty much the nonstop action and intensity of the last episode. And in the back of my mind going in, I knew that we were going to have to at some point get a bit of a time jump just because of how we know the flash forward from earlier in the season set several months into the future, and we really haven't made that much progress chronologically yet. So I knew something was going to happen that way, and that wasn't... They were going to have to take their time with it, and they did. I thought they did a good job with sort of moving that along, where the guy comes back and Walt gets the newspapers, and he has his hair, and we're just sort of meant to understand what's happened, and they're not telling
great
us. I thought they did a good job by that.
Great casting. I forget that actor's name, but he's just like a journeyman actor, and I thought it was great casting.
Yeah, Robert Forster, I think it is. Yeah. He's in my favorite movie, Lucky Number 11. He plays a very small...
Who is he in that? Because I love that movie.
He's like the cop who's at the end on the phone, like, explaining the whole thing to Stan.
Oh, you're right. Yep. Yeah. You're right. He's piecing it all together. Yeah.
Exactly. And he just, you know, great voice, great fit for the show. I love how, you know, like... I don't even know a word to describe him, but he fits so well into what I thought he should have been.
And he was very different than, like, you could have imagined. He wasn't, like, this slick guy who disappears people.
No,
he was just a dude, yeah.
Just a dude who, like, fixes vacuums.
Like, it was set up to be, like, this whole elaborate underground thing that makes people disappear. And it's just a guy who will keep you in his basement until he can find a place to put you.
By the way, how terrible would it be to take the entire ride from New Mexico to New Hampshire in that vehicle? Like,
oh,
laying in
God.
It. Your back would be ruined.
It was great acting by Bryan Cranston when he gets out of there. And he's like, clearly his pupils are finally coming back into focus. And
he's adjusting to the light and everything. They might have actually stuck him in there for a while just to get a real reaction out of him.
He might have stuck himself in there.
It was really good acting. I'm not sure if it was Jeff Daniels level acting, but it was up there.
Let's not start any fires on this podcast just yet.
We're starting a beef with Jeff Daniels. Get at us, Jeff. We love your work, but come on.
We'll get to the Emmys later. I couldn't resist there.
I'm going to need that Law and Order dude to come squash this beef on the podcast.
With the bow tie. What's his name? Something?
Can't remember his name in real life. Sam Cassell or something?
It's certainly not Sam Cassell.
It's Sam Waterston.
It's not Sam Cassell. We agree there.
It's Sam Waterston.
Yes, that's who it is. Anyway, I wasn't sure it was necessary that Walt needed to be it. Did you guys think he needed to be that hidden for the whole ride?
Really quick, I just Googled Sam Cassell, and the first thing that came up, other than Wikipedia and stats, was Sam Cassell and the 25 ugliest players in NBA history.
He's got to be top five. This feels like an article we need to do for the blog as well.
Listen, the Sam and Jeff combinations are just fantastic. You guys, that's what wins, you know, Western Conference Finals and apparently Emmys.
Right.
You got a good team together if you got a Jeff and a Sam on there.
Well, oh God! Sheldon Williams wins. I'm going to the slideshow. Let's move on.
Is he Mikey Moore?
I don't have the list. Let's let me ask you this, guys. Andrea's death. Just go. I think it was a great move. In terms of storytelling, I understand why it happened. I was maybe the most upsetting death on the show in terms of everyone else was at least involved somehow, and she's just totally innocent, and it really like hurt. Right. What did you guys think of that scene and that move and also just the absolute bleakness of Jesse? I'll go on what I actually think Jesse's ending is going to be now, but just how bleak Jesse's storyline has gotten and how just crushing it is.
Yeah, in that scene, it reminded me a little bit of when Todd shot the kid someone that was pretty much completely innocent was killed. But this one was a little bit different, where in the train episode, that was all about shock. I didn't see that coming. But as soon as Todd shows up at the door here, you kind of have a feeling of what's going to happen. And especially when they show that Jesse's sitting in the car, you know exactly what's about to happen. And to actually see it happen was just, and Jesse's reaction was just heartbreaking and devastating on pretty much the highest of levels.
The second that she opened that door, like, your heart just starts to sink. And it's definitely my biggest, like, no moment of the show so far, where, like, it affected me so much. Just because, like, it's so different than the kid on the bike, because you just met that kid in that episode, and he hasn't been, like, through so much, and you're not as invested. But her and Brock, like, they did nothing except, you know, be friends with Jesse, and everybody just after them. And I was hoping that it was going to be just, like, a warning to Jesse, like, look how close we could get to her, sort of like when he's in the bedroom, when he's in the baby's room with Skylar, just kind of like a threat type thing. But to just turn around and just shoot her right on the spot was just so heartless and so gut-wrenching that, like, definitely the biggest shock moment in the show, for me, at least so far.
Yeah, it physically hurt. And that leads me into another point I want to make, which is, did Breaking Bad sneakily introduce one of its best characters in the fifth season? Todd is just so compelling.
Lydia came in the fifth season too, and I think she doesn't get as much screen time, but for them to introduce two characters like that so late in the game and for them to be so interesting is really impressive.
Especially considering they dropped Gus and Mike, two all-time TV characters, and I feel like, in one episode you have Todd commit what we've just described as the most upsetting thing we saw in the show, bring Jesse ice cream to reward him when he doesn't have to. The whole way he kills people, it's really, he's a very compelling character to watch, and I think it's fascinating how well they've introduced new characters who fit so well into the world and so successfully keep the cast. Like, it always seems like they're shrinking the cast, but they just managed to find new interesting people to populate the world, even if they're probably sociopathic monsters.
You know, it really is perfect casting of Jesse Plemons. Just like, his level of celebrity is like from Friday Night Lights. It's enough that you recognize him.
And he has some kind of image.
But if he stayed in the background that whole time, like, you wouldn't have blinked an eye. Like, oh, why is Jesse Plemons in this role if he's not going to be a bigger factor? You know what I mean? Like, when I first noticed him for Vamanos Pest, like, I was like, oh, hey, it's Landry or Lance or whatever you want to call him. And and I was just like, oh, that's cool that he's getting FaceTime on Breaking Bad. That's sweet. And then he just turned into this, like, absolute benevolent monster of just all the things that he's done to, like, give the money to Walt to, you know, keep Jesse alive in a way. Like, I mean, like, he's done way worse to Jesse since then, but he could have just been killed on the spot if he didn't say a word.
But that, well, I think saving Jesse was more about getting a pure cook to impress Lydia.
Yeah, to impress
Lydia.
Now that's become apparent. But still,
I think so many of his actions are so just polite and so counter to the world that we see of drug dealers. And I think it's a wise move to have pair him with these crass literally with Nazis, where they're these jerks who just are very straightforward about what they're doing. And it almost makes him even more shocking that he's as willing to do anything they are as they are, but carries himself the way he does.
Yeah, it really is amazing.
I loved that his uncle was pretty much able to immediately recognize that his intentions for wanting to cook more were for Lydia and had nothing to do with, like, the money. He had that line about how you can always have money, but you always need more or something along those lines, but still his uncle could tell right away that he just wanted to impress Lydia and spend more time with her.
Yeah, they managed to, even Jack, who is like much more of a straightforward villain, is they managed to fill just the nooks and crannies of the show with interesting people. And I think that's really, really impressive that they managed to do that. And I think that introducing Todd in season 5, even after he killed that kid, could you have ever imagined him having this role in the series, even after that?
No, not at, only as like a snitch, in a way. You know, that he had all the secrets of, oh, he's robbed this thing and they've been selling this thing, but nothing to the level of what he's become.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's impressive. Now, do we have more to talk about, or can we move closer to the ending?
Do we want to deal with previous episodes like the knife fight or anything like that?
I think we could
Hank's death. We don't want to eulogize Hank at all.
We should touch on Hank, I think, because we missed it. Well, let's do that after this episode. How about that? Because we're on this episode, and then we'll talk about a little bit of what we missed, because I'm just generally about the show going into the finale.
Okay.
So, Vinny, take it away. Sorry.
I was just going to say, earlier you mentioned that this episode was full of uncomfortable moments, and another one that came to me was just Walt's phone call with his son. It just didn't go the way he expected at all. Jesus. He thought that maybe if he can convince Walt Jr. that he had the best intentions at the beginning, and this money, he saved it for him, and he's going to do everything he can to get it to him, that maybe Walt Jr. will forgive him. I think he expected it. Not even was he hoping. He expected that's the way it would go, and Walt Jr. or Flynn, however you want to refer to him as, just completely turned the tables and started yelling at him in the middle of this conference room or principal's office, wherever he was, and saying he wishes he was dead. And I thought that was a pretty heartbreaking moment, even though I am no longer rooting for Walt to succeed because of all the bad things he's done. I still felt bad for him right there, just because nothing that he's done, the intentions he had at the beginning, whether they were true or not, to provide for his family, even he can see now that that didn't happen at all.
Yeah, he seems to have no way to reconcile what he's done to his family anymore. No amount of money is going to make it up to them. The only thing that he could do is to make everything the way it was, which is obviously impossible. Like, I think there's no way
around on him. The episode opened by explaining about Saul basically explaining to Walt what the only option he really has is to make things as good as possible, which is to turn himself in, be kind of a legend in jail, and just get his family completely off the hook and just completely cop to everything like he tried to do with the phone call. But that was, to not to use the show's quotes, that was a half measure. A full measure was if he really wanted to take the guilt on himself, was to take the guilt on himself and turn himself in. And he goes to do that in the end, in my opinion, when he calls the police and he leaves the phone hanging and until he sees the, as Greenwald called it, Deus Ex Charlie Rose. Until he sees that newscast, he was ready to finally do that because he saw there was nothing he could do for his family other than the full measure of just fine, I guess I have to get them out of where they are. And maybe I'm jumping a little bit, but and we haven't even really focused on Walt's time in the cabin, which was so bleak and well done, and the physicality of Bryan Cranston as he basically like stopped being Heisenberg slowly throughout the episode, just lost it, wore the hat, couldn't muster up walking down the road. I think is it insane? And did anybody else like almost laugh positively at the idea that he might have gotten that machine gun to kill Gretchen and Elliot? That's crazy. I love it, and it's crazy, and it's bizarre.
I would hate that ending.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's how it will go down. Like, I don't think that...
Maybe the ricin is for them.
I don't think the ending is going to be he goes and just kills these two people and, like, dies. I think that would be a terrible ending. But I think that might be his motivation.
First of all...
I don't think that.
What do you think he's going back with the machine gun for, then, based on what we saw?
Based on what... I'm having
maybe to get his money back. Maybe
I'm having trouble completely remembering everything that was said on that show. But was it implied that like he was still cooking, like that his product was still being sort of sent about? Because they mentioned something about how it was in Europe. I didn't know if he interpreted it as that Jesse must be cooking because the product is doing so well, and maybe Jesse. I don't know.
That's but actually.
Like, I think that was the thought that I had initially, but I can't remember exactly what was said.
Yeah, Continue.
I also saw that suggested somewhere that it wasn't necessarily, you know, Gretchen and I forget the husband's name, but the fact that Charlie Rose did mention that the blue meth is still out there somewhere.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's both, but I really do think he, like, he wants to kill them now.
Well, I don't really know what Walt wants as an endgame. Like, he doesn't seem... He's not aware of any threat on his family by the Nazis. I don't think he would be motivated to go save Jesse.
No, he's not.
At all. Like, the only contact he's had is with... Does that guy have a name?
No, he never gets a name, which I love.
Okay, so him, the vacuum cleaner salesman.
Him, the bad guy from the Powerpuff Girls?
Yes. Imagine if he did the voice for that.
That would be crazy.
So, like, if he's going back to get his money, he knows that there's almost no way to get it to his family and that they really kind of wouldn't want it anyway.
I have a thought on this. And by the way, Sam Cassell won ugliest in that article.
Oh, good to know.
Poor Sam Cassell.
Yeah, I mean, imagine he Googles himself and sees that. He's never Googled himself.
He gets a Google alert every day about being so ugly.
So there's two things, and it could be both, but I think the only two reasons he could be going back is he finds out that the meth operation is still going, and that the blue meth and stuff, he thinks that maybe Jesse's involved or something like that, and he's going back to just not to get the money back so much as just like butcher them. Like, that's his life work. He's going to just butcher them, and he doesn't care. They're not going out with all his money. Or two is that it's just like a general, like, these people are saying that I was not involved in my life's work, which was gray matter, which was the first part of his life, like his life's work. And then the Nazis take his life's work, as he calls it, in the beginning. So he's just going back to just murder as many people as he can before he dies. Because I don't think there's an endgame for him, like you said. And I don't think he expects an endgame anymore.
Well, I think overall we know that Walt wants to, quote-unquote, win, no matter what it is. He needs to be on top. His ego is so huge like that. And he did mention in this episode that it's his money and he wants it. He did mention wanting his money back, but not necessarily wanting his family back.
Also, just to keep things in perspective, it was months ago that he said that he was like plotting the murder of those guys.
Yeah. So maybe that's still in his plan. Maybe it's not. Maybe something's going to come up this episode that's going to set him off. Because we haven't seen that transition from him leaving the bar to I'm going to buy a gun and I'm going to kill everybody and pick up some ricin along the way.
Yeah. Like,
something could fall in between there and set that off.
Yeah, I really think, based on the hopelessness of him, like there's nothing for him, I think that he partially, at least partially, plans to kill Gretchen and Elliot. or maybe that more, and to put it into more of a thematically satisfying way, everyone that in his mind wronged him, even though he's brought this all on himself, which would be the Nazis, which would
that's
be
a better Gretchen, way to put it,
which would be Gretchen and Elliot. I don't think he's going back to murder two people who are minor characters in the first season.
Yeah, I think for as dark as the show has gotten, for Walt to turn and start killing civilians,
I don't think he thinks of them as civilians.
I hope he does.
Yeah.
He thinks of them as two people who have robbed him of his life's work, just like the Nazis.
Yeah, but then he would have came to that conclusion much sooner, because he knows.
Yeah, but think of the pride shot, knowing Walt, of them saying that he wasn't involved in the founding of the company.
Well, I don't necessarily think that he, well, I mean, I would imagine he didn't truly believe that they were just kind of trying to separate themselves from what he's done.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be involved in the finale at all. I think him seeing that...
By the way, you could totally be right. I don't feel strongly. I just think that...
You seem to feel pretty strongly.
No, I thought my initial reaction...
You're yelling right now.
And then I thought about it was that there's a lot of reasons he's going back. But my very first reaction was, oh my God, is the only reason he got that machine gun to kill Gretchen and Elliot, which would be... crazy, but I do think you're right, is that wouldn't be a very dissatisfying ending. Now, let's talk about, and we've always said that predicting is not a very highly rewarding thing with Breaking Bad. Jesse's ending. I'm starting to think that his ending, because he's just, his life is in shambles.
It's the saddest thing in the world.
I have a slight prediction, and I don't think he'll be happy, and we won't necessarily feel happy about it, but it'll be better, the closest we get to a happy ending is maybe... he and Brock basically get out of there.
Yeah, that's got to be it, right?
I think that would be prediction.
That would be thematically satisfying, but it definitely wouldn't be a cop-out, because Jesse's... oh, he's never getting over the fact that the two women he loved in the last year have been brutally murdered.
I don't see any... actually, I can't see him going with Brock.
Really?
Just because... I mean, how is it going to get, like... you have to expect that time has passed over this... because we don't know when that happened in the relation when time was passing with Walt. So I think something has probably already happened with Brock in terms of where he's living now. There's no way he's just still at home with nobody.
It can't be a good situation for him. And if there's any way... I mean, I can't imagine that Jesse has any money right now to be able to pay for him and Brock to be moved, you know, in a gas truck to some faraway state. So, I mean, ideally it would be that he can... raise Brock and give him a better life than he's ended up giving to him.
You know, I mean, it's definitely possible.
I think as predictable as it is, it would be the most satisfying to the audience. Like, if Jesse is just tortured and everybody, all his loved ones are killed, I don't think...
because he's hit the lowest of lows several times throughout the series. He needs a rewarding moment.
They just keep digging holes in the basement to put him lower and lower.
Yeah, he sort of needs, like, that season 5 Bubs moment.
Yeah.
Where there's actually a sense of happiness around him just for, like, 5 seconds.
Or if they don't even show us that endgame and maybe he kills Walt or something like that, that would also be satisfying as well.
I think at this point it would be.
I think that that's the closest Jesse gets to a happy ending, because if you really think about it, there's not much actual happiness left for him. But at least, like, at this point...
he might not even be able to feel happy anymore in his entire life.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, he lost Jane, and then now he lost Andrea, and
well,
who knows?
He lost Jane, and I think he kind of came to terms with that. And then Walt pulls out of nowhere, by the way, I watched her die. And then, I guess, days, weeks later, Andrea's killed. And
So the combination of finding out that Jane could have still lived and that Walt, this person for most of the series who he's trusted, did nothing about it. And then also to add on that, he also lost Mike, who was sort of a father figure in his life. It's just he's suffered so much loss. It would be, we need to see something rewarding from him, or else it would just, I don't even know, it'd just be too depressing.
Yeah, I hope something kind of happens that's a little bit happy for him, even in any way. It can't be all sad and horrifying.
Well, it can be. It absolutely can be. Do you know what show we're watching?
That's true. You're not wrong. And you're right.
I cannot believe how, like, thinking about it now, I kind of was, like, not thinking about it too much all day today. And how efficient last night's episode was. Like, every scene was, like, a great scene. The phone call, you know, the other phone call. No, there was no other phone call. The phone call, Jesse's escape, killing Andrea, the meeting with Lydia in the coffee shop. Like, everything was so important, yet, like, not overly drawn out and perfectly written. It just was amazing.
Yeah, they're just incredible. There's nothing like this show. Well, let's take a minute and we'll talk about Hank at least. We didn't pod after Hank's death, so.
Yeah, I like how Hank went out on his own terms. I think, you know, he came to a shootout in the desert. He'd survived one or two of those in the past, and he kind of knew what he got himself into once they pulled up. So.
Yeah, and he got to have his moment too, where he caught Walt. He didn't get to take him in or anything, but he put him in cuffs. He read him his rights. He beat him. It didn't last very long. And then once Hank recognized that he was going to die, he didn't have any pathetic moment where Walt had the pathetic moment in that scene where he was begging for Hank's life, even though we knew and Hank knew that there was no chance.
There was no doubt.
There was no chance that Hank was making it out of there.
No, he didn't. I don't think he wanted to. And
sorry, an advertisement came up on my computer and I got completely distracted.
Oh, shiny object. Look at that. And, like, Walt is pathetic. Like, you say that he wasn't pathetic. Like, what Walt is constantly pathetic, and Walt also doesn't really live in the real world or think in the real world like everybody else does. He thinks like a scientist. And he's all about numbers, and he's all about calculating, oh, if I do this thing, this will happen. And he's not concerned about anybody's feelings, where, like, Hank has those street smarts. Walt necessarily doesn't have that. He's like, oh, I saw this movie about this drug dealer. This must be how things work, and it's not that way in the real life.
Yeah, Hank, great character. His whole evolution from, like, the dumb brother character, dumb brother-in-law character, to just a great cop and a complicated guy. He just one of the show's better arcs.
Oh, I don't know if he was ever dumb, but he was just sort of.
He came across as like a blush.
He came across as like racist, and he made lame jokes, and
it was like a blowhard.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
Yeah, the two. I think his transformation and Jesse's transformation are, to me, they're better than Walt's transformation from, you know, Mr. Chips to Scarface, because you just didn't see it coming at the beginning. Like, all right, you know, like in the first episode, Walt has like these hints of like, you know, he comes into the bedroom with Skyler and he's all like macho and everything like that. But Jesse is like, oh, we could get any actor to do, like, this yo, bitch, talking terms, or Hank to be, like, this, oh, beer drinking, oh, look at my gun type, you know, typical cop in these shows.
I was thinking him making a noise, heh. He just, heh. Very obnoxious.
And they both turn into these amazing characters, and the show is just phenomenal in that casting like that.
So, any thoughts? Any final thoughts on the finale? Other than I can't friggin' believe it's over.
Yeah, that's pretty depressing on its own. I don't have any specific predictions. I guess we kind of went over that already, but I'm just excited for it.
They leave no doubt, by the way, that there'll be a Breaking Bad movie or something on Netflix in 5 years. No, this is it.
No, and I like that it's going out like that. Like, it's ending, which is sad that it's not going to be on anymore, obviously, but I wouldn't want it to overstay its welcome in another way. Like, at the beginning of the fifth season, it kind of seemed like, you know, after they kill Gus and everything like that, where is this thing going to go? Like, is it going on too long? And I think that they're going to kind of tie it up really nicely, that it's not pulling a Lost and, you know, staying too long, going too deep into too many things. And it's kind of just going out cleanly and the right way.
And you know what's interesting is a lot of shows, I feel like, after Gus died, almost every show would have introduced a new, like, big bad. Like, another big drug dealer that Walt's got to go toe-to-toe with. But the show didn't take that direction. There was realistically one kingpin of this size. Walt killed him, and now it was about him building his empire and it falling apart the end of it. And now, it just doesn't take the road, the path well traveled ever.
Now, Jeff brought up Lost, and I'm going to ask you guys, do you think ever, or if you do think yes, how soon will it be before we have another show that seems to kind of have this cultural phenomenon that Lost had and that Breaking Bad has had this past half season?
It's going to be a long time, I feel like. I can't think of a show on TV right now that has that. Homeland had a little bit of that buzz season one, but not nothing like this.
No, and Homeland really dropped off after the first season. I don't know if you covered it on this show before.
We did. We both agreed basically that the second season starts great and it culminates with the interrogation scene, and then it just falls apart for the most part. But the finale was pretty good, I'll say that.
Spoiler alerts on Homeland. I think if the first season ended with Brody setting off the bomb, it would have been a perfect season.
Yeah,
like better.
And then the show's over, and then that's it.
And either the show's over, or I mean, if they can find a way to be creative. But you're right, that his story felt over the whole second season. That was part of the problem with it.
Yeah. As for what the next, like, I don't think it's something that you can predict, because every year new shows come out of nowhere. Like, it's not like, oh yeah, 5 years from now I know there's going to be this show. So like predicting like that, I don't think is any useful. But I have a feeling it's going to be something on Netflix or something like that. That comes out of nowhere. It's definitely not going to be on network TV, and I highly doubt that it would be on AMC again. I feel like they struck gold with Mad Men and Breaking Bad, and they've had nothing.
They've proven since that they don't understand why those shows work.
I mean, I would really like Bates Motel to catch on like that.
I don't think it will.
I love that show, and it's excellent. But
Vera Farmiga was nominated last night, which was nice.
Very much deserved. She's excellent in it.
Agreed.
And I don't know. I don't. Maybe something on FX will come around, or Game of Thrones still has that kind of feel. But yeah, I don't think it's as wide a spread as Breaking Bad has gotten to.
That's the show that I see that has the potential as Game of Thrones, but
it's a large barrier to entry though for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it gets harder and harder to get into because of the full hour, because of the genre. I think that one of the things Breaking Bad has that. So far, no other show has this. I don't think any show has had a perfect final season like this, where it's just been a fever pitch of just. It hasn't been like a farewell season like most shows do. It's been just like a mad train ride into hell. Like, what other show is constructed where the last season is just pure story like this?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously don't know a case like that, but it also kind of speaks to how different TV has gotten. Like, they know they're going out in a certain time. Like, I guess other shows weren't aware that they were going to be canceled or anything like that.
They totally know.
So, you know, if you look at Deadwood, that's something that kind of was just taken off the air right away. It didn't really have a full...
Yeah, Deadwood doesn't have an ending. It's very bizarre.
Spoilers to me.
Deadwood is so good. Podcast listeners, watch Deadwood.
Yeah, I never got through the first season of that, but... I mean, I don't know any specific case of anything that's better. Obviously, I like this over everything else, so I'm just enjoying the ride, and I think it's perfect. I don't think Mad Men is going to do as well in its last season. I don't either.
I think Mad Men's last season is going to be incredibly interesting, though. I'm very excited to watch it.
And I think no matter what, it's going to be compared to Breaking Bad, so it's going to lose either way.
Yeah.
I think it's a no-win situation for them. They should swing for the fences.
I think it's hilarious just because we're all plugged into like the internet response to this stuff. How much of a beating Dexter has taken because its final season is airing at the same time?
Yeah.
Well, I think that also speaks to the level of the show.
The fact that anything gets the fact that something is doing its final run at the same time as Breaking Bad just highlights how far and away like there isn't any other show like it. As a recovered Dexter fan.
Yeah, I watched the finale. I don't want to talk about it. No, I'm doing a podcast for the Wavewire after this about Dexter. And
oh, really? Mr. Not going to show up for Blurred Lines anytime, but I can do
You don't do Blurred Lines whenever... You don't do Blurred Lines when I'm available, and I think
I'm sorry, we do them as early as the lines come out so people can make, you know, astute decisions based on our expert opinions of the lines.
NFL fans, you should check out the Waiver Wire podcast.
Yeah, all NFL fans that are still listening to this that don't already listen to the Blurred Lines podcast, please listen. We got to get our name out there somehow.
All right, do you guys want to move on to the Emmys here for the last however long we have?
We have as long as we want.
Yeah, I don't.
This isn't no blog talk. Oh, yeah, you have another podcast to get to, I remember.
Yeah. so let's move on to the Emmys. I didn't really I watched a little bit of them last night, but of course Breaking Bad was on while the Emmys were airing, so I missed an hour and a half of them at least. But I did look at the winners. Did you guys look at the list of winners and losers?
I did look at the list last night. I should probably get it up in front of me right now.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. I'm reading about Sam Cassell's bone structure.
You're still on the Sam Cassell thing.
Hey, Sam Cassell's got the juice. The juice is ugly.
The juice is, it's ugly juice.
You guys can buy the Juice is Ugly shirts for $12.99 on our website.
No, that's a steal.
Guys, I think we're going to lose Sam Cassell as a fan.
No, Sam Cassell was actually booked to be next week's guest. And
yeah,
he's
I don't think it's going to happen anymore.
He's listening in live, and it's not looking good. But apparently he's a big Downton Abbey fan and was going to come in and just break it down for us.
Yeah, because, well, I don't know. Does Jeff watch? Because I don't, and I'm pretty sure you don't, right, Kershaw?
I don't. Kirsten constantly, my girlfriend is constantly trying to get me to.
No, I don't watch it. No.
I'm not opposed to it. I have other shows to watch.
Yeah, it's not high on my list.
Yeah, I'll get.
Hello?
My best drama series, finally. Finally. But hey, I think
you guys
I think,
cut out there for a little bit. Can you repeat what you?
I just said that finally Breaking Bad won the best drama series, but I don't think that's the big story. I think the big story is that finally an unrecognized actor overcame some of the most overrated actors in television, and Jeff Daniels won best actor over
finally
Jon Hamm over Bryan Cranston over who else was nominated?
Who else was Kevin Spacey?
Kevin Spacey. I could see over Damian Lewis. Season 2 of Homeland had some problems, as we just said.
But
yeah,
wasn't Lewis's fault.
Crazy that the newsroom, that Jeff Daniels. I mean, I actually really like him in the newsroom, personally. Although I haven't watched second season, really. But.
Well, it goes off of last season, and he was good in the show. The show wasn't very good, but I don't think, compared to the nominees he's going against, I don't think he's as good of an actor, and I also don't think the role demands for him to be as good.
No, and it's not—it's not an unforgettable role.
Well, you guys also have to consider the way the Emmys are voted on. Like, they submit one episode of a show,
which is so stupid,
and it's also impossible to have every voter watch every episode of every show that's nominated.
That's not feasible. Like Gus not winning Best Supporting Actor. If you watch that whole season, there's no one that did a better job on television than him.
Well, somebody might have, but you might not have watched it.
That's true. touche. Undone by my own logic.
Well, but I believe that the episode for the newsroom that Jeff Bridges
that opening
for
scene.
Has to be that opening
it's
scene.
It's got
to
be the pilot,
and
yeah.
That speech. And he's really good. I like watching that first episode, I kind of liked the show. Like, I didn't think it fell off its cliff yet of Sorkinisms and things like that. And that speech is, no matter how you feel about what it's being said, it's well done and well acted. And that first episode is very well acted by Jeff Bridges.
Okay, well, but we still, I think we all agree that... I think we all agree that Hamm, Cranston, and Spacey are more deserving. Maybe, am I wrong?
I did not see House of Cards, so I can't speak about...
Get on your House of Cards jam when you can.
I would like to see Hamm win one at one time, but...
It's not... He's not going to.
Oh, also, did I say Jeff Bridges instead of Jeff Daniels?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Why didn't nobody correct me?
Because I think we all like to imagine what it would be like if Jeff Bridges played Will McAvoy.
That would be great.
It would be interesting. So, two nominations and wins that I love. Julia Louis-Dreyfus winning for... Veep?
I hate that. I hate it.
Why?
I really like Veep, but I wanted to see Amy Poehler win.
I would have liked to see Amy Poehler or Tina Fey win. But I love Veep, and I love to see it winning Emmys because it's a great show, and I like the Tony Hale one because I really like Veep. I just really, really enjoy Veep. It's a very funny show.
No,
and
I've enjoyed it many times, but I like Parks better, obviously.
I totally agree. Parks is in the conversation for, like, top five comedies ever, probably.
Yet it wasn't nominated.
I'm going to make a controversial statement. I have an unpopular opinion alert. I don't know if I'm going to get a drop from... I'm going to get a drop for crossover from Blurred Lines, but I'll say it once more. Unpopular opinion alert. I kind of, despite the fact that I didn't feel this way beforehand, like that Bobby Cannavale won for Boardwalk Empire.
I didn't like that. Well, first of all, Jeff, do you watch Boardwalk Empire? Or did you see last season?
I did not see last season. I watched the first two seasons, and I was out on it.
It just could not keep my interest at all.
That's fair.
Vinny and I don't trumpet Boardwalk Empire. We've always, just to give all the newer listeners and Jeff an update on our opinion, basically what we think of Boardwalk Empire is that we're lucky to be in an era of TV when a show like that can be nitpicked. It's enjoyable. It's better than a lot of stuff on TV, but there's nothing special about it.
Yeah, if it was 10 years ago, it might be one of the most talked about shows.
How well they realized the period. Okay, I'll describe it like this, because my pick would have been Jonathan Banks, I think, for Breaking Bad. Although Peter Dinklage for Game of Thrones, Manny Patinkin, that's actually a loaded category. Saul is my favorite part about Homeland. I kind of liken it to a great, unbelievable, a really great player on a bad sports team leading his team to the playoffs over a great player on a great team and Bobby Cannavale winning it, the way like an MVP award works.
Yeah.
Whereas he's working with far less, and I feel like brought season 3 alive at every time he was on the screen and was a really memorable villain that I actually – don't want people to forget. Like, it's a performance that I actually found really memorable and enjoyable, and it almost stood apart from the show and how great a character he created and how much I loved his scenes. And like, how do you pick between Aaron Paul and Jonathan Banks? Like, they're in a show of just loaded with amazing acting. I almost feel like Saul should win a comedy Emmy for Breaking Bad. Like, it's that level of acting in the show. Yeah. So I that's my unpopular opinion defense of Jip Rossetti winning Boardwalk Empire.
I don't think it's that unpopular of opinion. And was he included in the trade machine on the Grantland site?
No, because
he was only a one season character.
Yeah, no, because spoiler alert, he dies in the end of the season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They wanted to trade Nucky, I believe, is what it was. They wanted to trade Steve Buscemi.
Okay.
Which I do think Boardwalk would be better with that.
I
want to point out that I had the idea for that trade machine a while ago when that Christina Applegate and Will Arnett show Up All Night was on. And I thought Christina Applegate was fantastic on it, but it was such a shitty show that I think she should have been on something better.
Yeah, okay. I kind of remember that.
I had this idea before everybody. Let me just put it out there.
But yeah, I think it would be it's an interesting conversation what Boardwalk Empire would have been like if the season 2 conflict between Nucky and Jimmy, if it went the other way. And Jimmy was now the main character of the show because he was the show's best character for me, at least.
Yeah, I think them killing him off was part of the reason why I don't watch it anymore.
It was a good story move, and I actually think one of the things we said about season 3 is it was surprising that after killing the best character, I think they made their best season.
I wasn't as big on the third
season. I didn't love it. I liked it, though. I think I would describe it as we always say the show doesn't have any life to it. Season 3 had the most life to it. It felt the most chaotic. It felt the least restricted by, like, this is what's happening in the 20s. Like, it felt just more like an interesting mob show for a season.
See, the big problem I had with season 3, and I don't want to spend too much time talking about Boardwalk Empire.
In a second. I know what you're going to say, and I don't. We disagreed about it several times.
I don't know if you do know what I'm going to say. I'm going to say two things. First of all, with Jip Rossetti, I felt like he was a bit too much of a cartoon character. Is that what you thought I was going
to
say?
It was that slash that you thought they constantly tried to just do violence to make like a statement.
That's the second part. Every episode did nothing for 50 minutes, and then they just killed a bunch of people in the last 5 minutes.
I don't agree that the use of Jip Rossetti was basically like just, oh, we don't know what else to do. Let's make them do something crazy. I feel like they did do that, but I felt like I liked the way they did it, whereas you didn't. So we basically agree, but we just how much we dug it was different.
Fair enough.
Way too much time on Boardwalk Empire. Let's talk about The Walking Dead for an hour.
What I do want to talk about is if you guys have been watching any of the new shows that have been coming out, if there's anything that you're excited for, anything that you've got your eyes set on.
I studied up for this a little.
Really?
Not a little. I studied up that I watched one episode of one show.
Was it Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
It's Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I really, really liked the pilot of. I thought it was...
I did,
too. It wasn't like a life-changing pilot or anything, but I loved the tone it established, and I thought the cast was great.
What I think part of the reason both me and you liked it so much is because we love Hot Rod so much.
Yeah, it's... Is it
like Hot Rod? Because I do like Hot Rod.
No, well, it's not at all.
It's not like Hot Rod, but it's just Andy Samberg's type of comedy.
Okay.
It's not like SNL Digital Short type stuff, obviously, but...
It's much more Andy Samberg's brand of, and I feel like he really is allowed to be himself in the role. And I felt the tone is very like almost Parks-ish. It's got like a warmth to it.
Well, it's Mike Schur. The same.
Yeah, the same show has got a warmth to it that I really like, and there's some really good casting. Andre Braga, or however you say his name.
Brower.
Or yeah, I think he's really sneaky great casting for that role.
Yeah, and I think part of why I enjoyed him so much was because he's so not a comedy guy.
Yeah.
That it was like shock value every time he said something funny. And I'm worried that that'll wear off. But also, I think who plays like the administrative person?
I don't know. She killed me.
She was fantastic.
I don't know who she was, and she has such a small part in the episode, but she was tremendous. Their whole negotiating thing about how I get like 3 weeks free vacation and I'll tell you. And he's like, you don't lose your job. It's worth, I'm excited about that show. I think it's got potential.
It's got a lot of potential, but obviously it's just a pilot. So
yeah. Yeah.
Chelsea Peretti. I thought that it was her and I just didn't want to throw the name out there.
We should start to wrap up. We've been running a while.
Well, nobody's listening to this anyway.
Everyone's listening.
Vinny, have you been watching any of the new shows coming out?
I have not.
Anything you're planning on checking out, have an eye on?
There wasn't nothing really actually stuck out to me. I'm sorry to say.
Any you've watched lately?
I did see that movie Prisoners today, which is pretty good.
God damn it.
What, was that too far off of what you were trying to get me to answer?
Just a little bit.
It was very good, though.
Don't spoil Prisoners for me. It looks good. I want to see it.
Prisoner spoilers.
You should definitely, I'm just going to tell you everything that happens at the end.
Okay.
But it's a very good movie. You should check it out.
So does he still have bone claws in it after the end of The Wolverine, or did he get the adamantium back?
Not through the entire movie.
Okay, so he does.
There's a scene, they address that issue in the middle of the movie.
That's good, because that's a cool move, but I was curious what they were going to do.
Yeah. I think that was a concern, and they addressed it, and they did it very well.
I would just like to do one last thing before we go. Viewers, any listeners that do actually follow our show and have listened to several episodes, write the waiver wire, address it to Vinny, and demand he watches Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Demand it. Send in angry gifts. I will give you. I will post an address that you can send gifts to shortly. Something that are just like burn things in effigy and send him the remains. Because,
and if you're tired of going to the post office, you can mail those letters using stamps.com, our new sponsor for the show.
Why do we ever have to leave?
We borrowed the BS Report
sponsor. Do you think if we pretend that they sponsor us, eventually they'll just start sending us money? Because they'll be like, someone will listen and just be like, oh, gosh, have we gotten the check to them yet? Cut these guys the check, crap.
It's not just the BS Report. They're on every
get that in post.
Podcast that I listen to.
Yeah, they are on like every podcast. They've gotten into that medium.
Them and Squarespace.
Okay, well, we've totally lost our point. So,
while we're off topic, can I say how mad I am that Peyton Manning just fumbled that ball in the red zone? Ridiculous,
right?
You can't mention it. And I thought it deserved a look.
This is making for stunning radio.
guys, all our listeners out there, be sure to send questions to blog.waiverwire@gmail.com for John and Vinny Save the World Episode 2, recording later this week.
Our advice podcast.
Our advice podcast for waiverwireblog.com.
This guy's just in every podcast but yours, Jeff.
We already have some exciting questions, so be sure to send yours in.
Also, Vinny, if you want to be the episode new... number, when am I on the show?
I'll go in number 4.
Okay, I accept.
He'll never get to 4.
If you want to be the new host of the Blurred Lines podcast with me and Greg Kaplan, please send in your messages nominating yourself so we can.
Can I add one requirement? All they have to do is watch one episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. write a short summary about it.
Sounds perfect.
Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. We're going to be getting back together next week.
Anybody listening, probably sometime tonight when this comes out, we're going to have a new Blurred Lines podcast with special guests to be determined. For your listening pleasure. So tune into that.
Waiverwireblog.com, people. Check it out. We got a lot of fun stuff going on. Now, thanks for listening, everybody. We're going to be back together next week to freak out about the face melting Breaking Bad finale, and we'll probably ramble.